It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline.
Well, there we go. Welcome to Trackside Tonight. Joe?
No, I'm not on.
I'm a little bit there.
I'm leaving.
Okay, anyway, welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
Who's all these people talking in my ear?
That was the news.
The news?
Yeah. Anyway.
The news back on.
Hang on the window over there and just tell the news department to be quiet.
Yeah, there you
go. Cut it out.
Oh, there we go. Okay, Mark just blew Mark's ear out. Did you see that? Yeah. Well, anyway, we're glad to be with you tonight. I think you got the numbers early, 239-0033, 800-927-0033. You know, I want to once again thank Morgan Shepherd for taking time with us last week. I spoke to him the next day, guys, and he really appreciated us giving him that opportunity to talk. And I think also want to make sure we give a shout-out to the Real Racing USA folks. They are archiving these shows and advertising the shows. So if you didn't get to hear it, I've been doing the show now over 12 years.
And, 200 years.
Yeah, a long time. And we've had, you know, you guys have brought some of the best guests on the program we've ever had. And we've had some other, I guess, so-called celebrity status kind of folks. But I don't know that we've ever done a more significant interview than the one we did last week. And I just encourage you, if you didn't hear it, go listen to it on realracingusa.com. And I think you'll probably agree with us. It was pretty impressive, although in a humble kind of way.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. And like Billy said, why do you got to do that to me, Phil? You're taking all my steam away when you're making me laugh like
yeah.
that. Anyway, you know, we talked about it last week, the fact that we certainly have a newfound respect, if you will, for Morgan Shepherd, and certainly a newfound respect for some of the drivers that have helped him and that didn't want any notoriety about it. So I was very impressed with Tony Stewart's involvement, Kevin Harvick's involvement, so many different people that helped Morgan out there, and they want no fanfare whatsoever.
You know, it's really, I think it's another one of those indications. It's sad to me, honestly, that with all the stuff that we're, as a country, as a society, that we're dealing with right now, that when there is such an opportunity to talk about some good news out there, and, you know, the generosity of the Kevin Harvicks of the world and the Tony Stewarts and Carl Edwards, I think Morgan made a big point about that, and Morgan Shepherd, obviously, in the things that he's doing, that somehow this story just flies under the radar and it escapes the mainstream media as it relates to our sport. I'm really disappointed. I think there's a bigger deal here than even that we made of it. You know, there was a much better opportunity to say something good, aside from the fact that the guy's 67 years old and competing in the NASCAR Nationwide Series, finished 13th at California. I mean, that in of itself is a story, I think. At least it impresses me. And then to talk about the things that he does on his on the personal level. And then switch back to the racing for a minute. Not only is he 67 years old accomplishing what he's accomplishing, but he's doing it with no budget. I mean, three employees, period. With a very, very, very small budget in the sport that has got millions and millions of dollars worth of budget for most of these teams. I mean, most of these guys spend more money in a six race test package than he does for a 30 plus, you know, race schedule.
That's true.
So I'm just amazed, truly amazed at what Morgan Shepherd's been able to accomplish.
And there are some racetracks out there that Morgan could do much better at. I mean, let's talk about Bristol. You know, look at some of the archives. Look at what Morgan Shepherd has accomplished over the years. Bristol could be a pretty darn good racetrack for him when the Nationwide Series rolls into there. Several different racetracks still on the schedule that, you know, not that it really matters to him, but the simple fact that he wants the car to be out front, he wants camera on the race car, simply to give all the glory to God. That's the reason he brings the car. That's the reason he wants the car seen. That's what it's all about. So, man, I hope it works for him.
Well, and I think he feels like his ministry has gotten a big boost, not just because Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards and Kevin Harvick have helped him, but because their help actually gives him more TV time and gets more attention,
exactly right.
Which you know helps him accomplish his goal. So anyway, if you haven't didn't get a chance to be with us last week, didn't get a chance to hear it, and this is true of every week. The folks at Real Racing USA do this every week. They run our show and archive the show. You can go back and pick it up anytime you want. They do it for several weeks back, so you can pick them up from other times if you're so inclined. We appreciate that, too. Joe, let's talk about
Bike Week. It's over.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we spent a lot of time over here and spent a lot of time at Daytona. And
did you see me?
I several times. Weren't you the one wearing the? No, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah,
yeah, I see you.
You see me?
Yeah,
I made the show.
Hey, talking about making
finished third in the AMA Saturday night in motocross.
Yeah, in your dream, huh? Yeah,
I did. You didn't see me?
I didn't see you.
You didn't go then.
Yeah.
Hey,
man.
2 weeks ago, we had young Justin Felice, 23 years old,
made the show.
Triumph 675 at R&B Motorsports. That's right. He started 31st, finished 65th. So not a bad accomplishment. And I will tell you this. There was actually another Triumph that made the show. Kind of a late entry, but they did make it. I don't have any information, but Triumphs. Two Triumph 675.
You know, what I think, we listened to those guys in the show, on the show that night and talking about the possibility of winning and so forth. I got to say that, A, making the show, B, starting 31st, those two particular circumstances, in my opinion, are a win. I mean, to do what they did as quickly as they did, you know, and then obviously, I mean, 65th, I'm sure isn't what they hoped for, but the fact is, they were out there. They got this deal together. They got in the show. They got in the show solidly. I mean, 31st is no slouch. I think they gained a lot. I haven't got a chance to talk to Robbie yet. I'm going to do that and see what they plan to do from here. Get their debriefing on what's going on. But I think they were to be congratulated. I certainly appreciate their enthusiasm. And it's no small feat to be able to make that show.
Not at all. Ben Bostrom would take the win on the factory-backed Yamaha. And the Supercross on Saturday night, always a great event.
I was third.
I want to back up to the...
Ben Bostrom?
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, I admittedly, my brother has DeLand Motorsports, one of the sponsors of our program. I am not a big motorcycle race fan. I like riding my bike. It doesn't happen to be one of those. It's a Harley, but I ride it, at 70 and 75 mile an hour. It's not for wide open and all that. But I got to tell you, I appreciate it. I watched the bike race.
Isn't it amazing?
And it was phenomenal Friday night. I mean, I was just those guys. There is not one of them that could pass, in my opinion, a psychological profile. Every one of them are nuts. They got to be certifiable nuts. I mean, it was just phenomenal to watch that. I was just impressed.
I'm a Kawasaki guy, and Roger Lee Hayden, and of course, Jamie Hacking driving the factory back to Kawasaki's. Maybe we'll get him next year. But Ben Bostrom, I mean, what can you say? The guy, he's incredible what he's able to accomplish on that. I think Ben Spies finished second on his Suzuki.
Well, those four guys just duped it out. Pretty significantly, at the last several laps of that race, it was just phenomenal. I was glued to the TV, and a couple of the tumbles that some folks took, and just it was really incredible. I'm a new fan.
How was it under the lights? Of course, we weren't able to check it out, but it did look pretty cool under the
lights. I thought it was super cool. I think that move. Instead of having that race, it used to be on Sunday.
Sunday,
yeah.
And that's when we always go to it. So
right.
Obviously we couldn't do that, but...
I liked it. I think it was neat being under the lights and watching. I haven't talked all the typical
bike Could you fan. See the bikes all right? I mean, on television?
Well, I can see Billy, so I don't know.
I can see the ones that was in front of me pretty good.
Yeah, let's talk to you. I mean, we're over here talking around you. You were in the thing.
I'm sitting here watching you guys and seeing you carry on a conversation.
You were in it.
Y'all going to leave me out?
No.
Huh?
That's why you're a little sore yesterday.
I laid it down.
Did you?
Yeah.
Any raspberries or strawberries there?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty bad. But I did all right at the AMA Saturday night.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Michael Jordan actually fielded two of them super bikes. Did you see that, Randy?
No, I didn't see that.
I got to find out some more information, but how about that? Talking about crossing the lines, and, you know, Michael Jordan owns a couple of road racing bikes.
Well,
you see
a lot of stars into the racing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat thing. I mean, you know, it used to be, and you'll remember, the stars used to buy horses.
Yeah.
A lot of stars went horse racing.
Yeah.
Now it's just a lot more horses under one, you know, in one animal. You know?
That's a really glamorous racing, you know, style right there. The AMA motorcycles, it's very glamorous, very glitzy when you get the factories behind you. It's just really a lot of notoriety. It's really a cool way to go. They market these guys just in such a glamorous way, you know.
You can't. It's hard to live in the state of Florida at this time of year. Because there's so much good racing within a month time. You have the Daytona 500. You had the whole week that leads up to that. All the dirt car nationals. You get a couple weeks off. You got Moses come town. And guess what? Gator Nationals.
Hey, I'm going there Wednesday to deliver a forklift to them.
All right.
I'll take some pictures.
Nah, that's all right.
That's
upcoming weekend.
I thought it was next
week. Then you've got the 12 hours of Sebring.
The following week, Bristol.
But no, let's stay in Florida. You got the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
For the champ cars.
Okay, wow.
It's just on and on. I mean, we're very blessed to live in this state, you guys.
The Grand Prix of St. Petersburg.
Let's run right over there. Stop it.
Bristol.
That is one of the most successful races on the IndyCar Tour. It really is.
What?
Come on. The historic roads, the historic streets of downtown St. Petersburg. On Florida's Gulf Coast.
Let me know how it works out for you.
You know what?
I want to go.
Hey, you know what? If you go over there,
I'll be in Thunder Mountain.
If you go over there on a Wednesday afternoon with the early bird special at 4:30 at SNS Cafeteria, it's the same thing, buddy. I mean, come on. You know, it looks like the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. Everybody trying to get in that parking lot.
Where's the race cars?
You guys are just mad at that.
Well, talk about the Supercross.
Supercross, it was Chad Reed. Of course, we were at Volusia, but Chad Reed picked up the win, man. I mean, and that's cool. And everybody really looks at...
On a Suzuki.
Yeah, and the big change, of course, is Jimmy Stewart, little Bubba Stewart, black dude, drove the Kawasaki to so many championships at a young age. Finally, he switched. He, I think, is on a Yamaha now, and a lot of people were disappointed, but he was the favorite. He really was. Travis Pastrana actually...
He's a favorite no matter where he is.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Travis Pastrana actually designed the course for him. He's a champion, but it was Chad Reed in the Supercross. Pretty cool.
Well, I know the guys at DeLand Motorsports were happy about that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Hey, and that's when that adage holds truer nowhere else. Run on Sunday, buy on Monday. Motorcycles, it still holds true, Randy, more than ever. People buy these sport bikes, these younger generation buy the sport bikes simply based on what's winning races. They really look at that.
Well, you know what's it's interesting about that, and as a person in the automobile business, part of the reason for that...
Sold a lot of Dodges today.
And we'll talk about that.
Yeah, too, baby.
Part of the reason for that is the bike that they're competing, you know, out there resembles... And I mean, very closely.
You're right.
What they can go to the showroom and buy.
That's right.
And what's happened in automobile racing, particularly at the NASCAR level, is the car doesn't resemble what you can go to the showroom and buy anymore. And I'm not picking on NASCAR. I think NASCAR obviously is attempting to make the rules. You know, neutralize the value of the body, the value of the engine, and come up with a package that you know, hopefully puts the best driver in victory lane instead of necessarily the best aerodynamic car and so on and so forth. I don't know.
Is that why you looked at me crazy this morning when I showed up and said I want a car tomorrow?
the one
like Kurt Busch was driving.
You know, Billy, you're making my argument, man. That's exactly right. Although, you know, it's still a Dodge. There's a part of it that's a Dodge. The engine is a Dodge, and the neat thing about Kurt Busch's deal, you know, he's with the Penske guys. They're running the new Dodge engine, and there's no mistake about it. That engine was powerful yesterday.
He's been fast all year.
They've been running that Dodge engine all year. The Richard Petty Motorsports guys haven't got there yet. I think they keep watching that number two. They're going to have to get there.
Yeah.
With that, they're still running the old engine. I think that there's a significant difference. Kurt Busch and those guys started testing that engine actually late last year.
Yeah.
And you can see they kind of hit it on. They hit every single thing yesterday. I mean, it had plenty of power. The car was handling great. The driver couldn't have been any better.
He had a good car right out the truck.
Right out of the truck. And just did a phenomenal job. I will tell you, I was surprised, you know, with a caution and then knowing that there's a green-white checker going to come, and Carl Edwards beats him out of the pits. I was shocked, honestly, that Kurt Busch could come back and pass him. So it was impressive. It was an impressive win. It was a great win for Dodge. Great win for Penske and Kurt Busch. Back-to-back brother wins.
Penske's never won at Atlanta, they said.
That's right.
First time.
Yep, that's right.
I liked his victory lap.
That was different.
Yeah,
talk about the fact that he was in reverse. What did he do this for? Did he go all the way around in reverse?
His brother's got the bow. He's got to have something. Carl's got the backflip.
Tony climbs the wall.
Yeah.
He said, I'm really surprised how tall that reverse gear was.
Yeah.
I
heard him in the interview.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
It can't be easy.
No, I think it'd be very difficult.
Since we're on the talk about the race, how about the crew member went out and got the tire?
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Now, that'd make a lot of people mad.
Well, how about all the guys that got caught?
Yeah.
I mean, they got caught in the pits, but this guy, more than...
Suspending for the rest of the race, NASCAR did.
Yeah, I mean, they did the right thing, threw the yellow flag instantly as soon as somebody saw that. You know, the guy, I feel bad because the guy, his instant reaction was to try to keep something bad from happening, and in the process of trying to keep something bad from happening, he caused something bad.
But let me ask a question. Do you think that if he wouldn't have ran out there, you think NASCAR would just let the tire go till everybody cycled through their pit stops and then throw the yellow?
I think they would have tried.
I think
they would have tried to do that. I mean,
I don't think the tire was going to make it to the racetrack. I think it would have fell over at any time. I don't think it would have rolled all the way out there. And if you know, I think the road was curving a little bit, so even if he hit the grass, it would have fell off. But I thought that, you know, my opinion, I thought NASCAR would, if he hadn't ran out there.
I think they would have tried. I mean, I wouldn't blame
the whole complex of the race.
Well, it did, but I think if you go back and you look at the history of Atlanta, you know, to get 15. Or more cars to finish on the lead lap Atlanta, you've accomplished something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so what'd they end up with?
13.
Yeah, some number like that. I don't know that a whole lot would have changed, but the problem was that the cars that were one lap down, you took them out of the race because they were two laps down.
Yeah,
they were done, and there was a bunch of them.
No more lucky dog.
Yeah, they were out. So, you know, the guy was trying to do the right thing by going out there and recovering the tire and not allowing it to cause a problem, but in the process of doing so, it caused a problem. Worse than that, can you imagine the shock and horror it would have been if somebody had come flying through that infield, you know, where he was? I mean, that's the scary part. And I'm sure that you look at the guy, you know there was nothing deliberate about it. He wasn't trying to get somebody an advantage over somebody else. It was just an honest mistake, and NASCAR suspended him, didn't allow him over the wall the rest of the race, had him out in front of the trailer, and I don't know if there'll be anything else come of it or not. I hope not. I think that was enough. I mean, I think the fact that the guy, served his penalty for the rest of the race was enough, and I'm glad they didn't penalize the driver, and make him park it, because he had nothing to do with that. I could see potentially where a crew chief might be somewhat accountable here, because the crew chief could have been hollering on the radio, come back here, you know, instead of allowing him to go. But you guys stop playing tic-tac-toe.
We're writing notes.
I see that.
No notes about their finishes.
Do I have to sit in front between the two of you?
There are notes about finishes, right, Bill?
Either way.
But anyway, I think NASCAR, you can't blame NASCAR for throwing the yellow flag at all. It's too bad because, like you say, it put a lot of folks behind the eight ball.
Anytime you got somebody, whether it's a crazy or let's put it this way, a dumb mistake on their part, anytime a crew member puts himself in harm's way, or crew member, or even I'm the same way. If one of my
track
officials
official. Yeah.
puts herself in harm's way, you have to throw the yellow. We got no choice. It doesn't matter. It's better to do that than to see somebody get hurt. You know, I've seen a couple of times where our flagman, the yellow light on there is a little bit tricky. If you just barely touch it, it comes on. I've seen him turn it on and try to flip it off, and I said, no, turn it on. We got to stop now. And you know, you can't do it. I mean, because the worst thing is when it's all said and done, somebody's going to say, you cost me the race. You know what
yep.
I mean? I slowed down and he didn't. You know what I mean? So you can't do it. It has to be, if one guy sees it, they all got to see it.
Well, and even more than that, you know, as a driver, you got to be able to trust the yellow light. Does the yellow light coming on mean it's going to be on, or does it mean it's going to go on and come back off? Because you don't want me sitting in the throttle, you know, when a yellow light comes on for a real reason.
I had a guy Saturday night standing, going into turn one. He got himself outside the fenced area, was standing between the fence and the wall, and he was probably 15 or 20 feet from the opening of the road, which is standing up there giving hand signals to the leader. And I pointed out to him, said, that guy's got to move.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, lucky the caution had just came out, but he was in pretty bad shape there.
Well, the trouble is that you...
They don't think, man.
You don't think, and the speed that the cars are going, you cannot react.
Yeah.
You cannot react to get out of the way if something bad happens. If a part flies off, you know, there's just...
That's why I tell them at all the drivers' meeting, I don't care if the car's on fire, the car's upside down, I don't want anybody on the track. A crew member, grandmother, grandfather, dad, mother, it doesn't matter. Because what if one of them walk out there and now they get hurt?
Yes.
I mean, the racetrack's reliable, so.
Right. Well, you know, let's talk about something else. I want to talk about the Joey Logano thing for a few minutes. We've had four races, and there's lots of stories out there in NASCAR this year so far. We'll take the next, you know, maybe 10 minutes to talk about the Joey Logano thing, and then we'll take a break. But... I think, Joe, Billy, you guys weigh in on this. Would you agree or disagree that this isn't going maybe quite as well as they had hoped?
I don't think it's going, sorry, Joe, I don't think it's going the way they expected it to go, but this is one of them deals that, you know, we've talked to different drivers about money. I think it all has to do with money. I think it all comes back to, you know, like originally we had heard after they signed him that, after they realized that he hadn't done a whole lot before the Daytona 500, they were looking for somebody to put in that car. I don't think you can look a week before the Daytona 500. I think you have to look last year. But let's face it, there's nobody there. I mean, I think Joey Logano is a great racer. But to be honest, I mean, it's just him and Scott Speed for the rookie. He might not even win the Rookie of the Year deal against Scott Speed. If Scott Speed can get on a roll like Vickers is getting on, you know, think about it. I mean, he's got the same equipment. Scott Speed is not a bad race car driver.
Well, but I think Joey Logano has the same equipment that Denny Hamlin does.
I understand.
You know, and that Kyle Busch has.
I understand that.
Okay, so what I think is significant here, and we've heard this out of these guys ever since we've gone to the Car of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, there's that this car is a tough thing to drive. It's a tough thing to get a hold of. It's a tough thing to make adjustments. You know, because if you look at Logano, he's raced against the same guys he's racing with on Sunday, on Saturday.
Yeah.
He's raced with those guys, and he's beat them.
So he's having trouble with the car.
But the car is a huge adjustment. And I keep trying to wonder and think about, you know, they used to use a lot of the technology and a lot of the notes that they did, that they got gathered on Saturday in the Nationwide Series on Sunday for the Cup Series. That obviously cannot be the case anymore because the cars are two completely different animals, and you don't, you know, I wonder why. One question I pose: I wonder why the Cup guys are still running the Nationwide Series, because unless it's just that they want to race and it's paying them something, or they have sponsor commitments, I don't know. But I don't think they're gaining a lot from there to that Car of Tomorrow. And in Joey Logano's case, he was a. I think if they had to run him another year in the Nationwide Series, he'd have probably won the championship there.
But they had to do something here for Home Depot.
That's a good point.
What do you put in it? You know, that's the question. You got them. You know, I agree with you 100%, but think about it. I'm thinking about it in this scenario. You watch Kevin Harvick, who ran his first ever truck race on Saturday. He's pretty good. Ran second.
First ever race for Harvick in a truck?
That's what they said, with that truck team or whatever it was.
I think it was his own.
Was he driving number two or something? I didn't catch it until the end.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't think it was his first ever truck race. I think it was with that team or his own team or something like that.
But you look at Harvick. Harvick can get in the truck. He does good. He does good in the Nationwide Series.
Yep.
Same thing with Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer's good in the Nationwide Series. He's second in points right now. And let's face it, Clint Bowyer's not a bad race car driver. So you sit back and you look, and I'll give you a prime example, Kyle Busch. Look how many races he won last year in different. He can get in a cup. Let's face it, we already know this is coming. One weekend with all three teams or all three divisions are running at one track, he's going to sweep all three.
He has definitely the potential. Well, and he's been close, and he has the potential. I mean, he can do it again. That wasn't a fluke. Right?
What's the difference in this guy? I'll tell you the difference. The difference is this guy's a race car driver. And I'm not saying Logano's not. I just think that me and you agree on the same thing. I think they brought him up too quick.
Well, and I think this car is a tougher challenge than people think. I mean, I said, well, it's a tough car to make a transition from. For a guy that's been driving a race car for 15 years, it's a tough transition to make. And obviously, it's a tough transition for a successful rookie. Because
guys, we're four races in.
He's been last.
He hasn't done anything.
We're four races.
He hasn't done. He's wrecked.
Finished,
how many race cars?
Last
week,
Daytona.
I just think four races is just not even close to being enough to really
don't
be able to make a true.
No, I like to see the kid do good too, but I think
things
backfired on him was last year when he's supposed to run four or five races and didn't make any of them.
All right, I understand that.
So
I,
that doesn't
you're
help.
Right.
They
so,
put him in the 96 car one week. He runs horrible. Terrible.
Well, that car.
Look at Keselowski's the same way. He's running Hendrick stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's face it.
Well, I don't think that 96 car is now, the 66, if I'm not mistaken. The 96 is, they've got to align themselves with the 8s.
Right.
But I think this is a tougher switch than most people think. I really believe that the Nationwide car compared to the car tomorrow is night and day.
I think a prime example is David Ruderman. Look, he struggled in the beginning, and he's not doing too bad right now. He's starting to get a feel for this new car. He's been pretty good in the Nationwide Series. He's been one of the only Nationwide drivers that can compete with the Cup drivers. You know what I'm saying? Is finishing in the top five in the points and stuff. But I think now look at him this year in that car tomorrow. He's not doing too bad. I agree with you, Randy. I think he needed more time, bud.
He needed more time, and he needed he needed more time. Testing time in the car tomorrow, long runs where you understand how much different that car is at the end of a run versus at the beginning of a run. It's night and day. You see these guys, how many times in years gone by have you seen more guys sawed on the steering wheel than you do now? I mean, they are working their tails off in that race car. There isn't one of them that's going to tell you it's comfortable. Kurt Busch yesterday said it was great,
right.
But
it's always great when you're out
front. You're always great when it's out front. Yeah, that's right.
I questioned it too, and my biggest question was, and I tell you the one thing I was thinking about, and I thought about this for a long time. I think they thought that Zippadelli was going to be good for him like he was with Tony Stewart. But let's face it, Tony Stewart is not your average race car driver.
No.
Whether you like him or you don't like him, he is one of the best there is. And anything he gets in, he's really good. My question was, would it be in Toyota? With him being a little bit behind the eight ball with Joey Logano, why didn't they take Mike Skinner and put Mike Skinner in his car for a few races or for the year and let Logano work a few races in the 02 car like they tried to do last year? Why not? What would that have hurt? All Skinner could have done was help. I mean, he went to that one team and he helped the 83 and the 82 team. I don't care what people think. He helped them.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt he helped
them. And don't get me wrong, he made a better race car driver out of A.J. Allmendinger.
Think there's any doubt. And I think A.J. Allmendinger will tell you that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think
you get him for experience.
Yeah,
the driver. Don't get me wrong. The crew chief is a whole different person than the driver.
Question about it.
You could help somebody mold him because you've been in that seat.
Yep.
How many times has Zippy been in the seat? That's going by what you're telling him.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. When you work 10 years with Tony Stewart, then you know a lot of stuff. And I'm not saying that Zippy didn't know beforehand, but Tony Stewart probably went to him and said, "This is loose, and this is what we need to do." And that probably helped.
Well, when Tony Stewart went to Zippadelli and told him what loose means, Zippadelli knows exactly what loose means for Tony Stewart.
Right.
Hey, well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in just a few minutes and talk some more about NASCAR. We've got some stuff to talk about local racing. And again, the numbers are 239-0033, 800-927-0033. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
And now for the bonus round. If a train leaves Cleveland traveling at 54 miles per hour, what time is it?
6:24 a.m.
Correct. Plastic is to megawatt, as unicorn is to...
Glush!
Correct. How much extra does it cost to watch some Netflix movies instantly on your computer?
Nothing.
Correct! Netflix! DVDs by mail fast, plus some movies stream instantly to your computer. No late fees ever. Start your free trial today. Netflix!
See terms of use.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Have you met the newest dentist in town at Bevel Dental Care? Dr. Adriana Porter understands that there is a need for a great family dentist. The warm and friendly staff at Bevel Dental Care will help you create and maintain a healthy smile. Dr. Porter and Bevel Dental Care welcome all new patients, emergencies, and children. Does your smile reflect the real you? Bevel Dental Care offers Invisalign, the invisible way to straighten your teeth, or is a brighter, whiter smile something you've always wanted? Zoom Professional Whitening System brightens your smile in just 1 hour. Bevel Dental Care is offering 10% off all complete dentures and partials. And if you're a new patient to Bevel Dental Care, you can receive 10% off your first visit. Located in South Daytona at 911 Bevel Road. On the web at beveldentalcare.com. High quality dentistry in a caring and gentle manner. Call today for your appointment. 386-761-2273.
Everyone loves good food at a good price, and that's what Noah's Market in Ormond Beach is all about. Noah's Market is a family-owned business, 67 years in the Hamptons, and now in Ormond Beach, offering a wide array of conventional and specialty foods.
Hi, Noah's Mom here. Hope everyone enjoyed a safe and happy bike week. We're going to go ahead and continue to run our special this week. That's a lunch special at our deli. That includes a deli sandwich, a small bag of dirty chips, and a refillable fountain soda for just $5.99. You'll have your choice of Boar's Head ham, turkey, or our house-made roast beef on that sandwich. That's a great value at just $5.99. We appreciate your business. If you haven't had a chance yet, please come on in and see our new full-service bakery. My husband and I and our son Noah look forward to seeing you soon.
Noah's Market at A1A in Granada, Ormond Beach, open 7 days a week. Check their website at www.noahsmarket.com for upcoming events. Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside Tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm still Joe Dirt.
And I'm Billy, the third place at AMA Saturday Night.
That's right.
I'm going to convince you.
I haven't read that yet anywhere. I'm looking, though.
Y'all looking at
it says
wrong,
BTK. It
y'all looking
say
at the wrong paper.
All right.
So I was on the A. I was on that Land Motorsports Suzuki, though.
Hey, okay, we were talking about Joey Logano, and I think you guys, nobody said yet, you haven't told me whether you think it's a surprise based on this performance. And by the way, Joe, I'm not suggesting that these first four races are indicative of the way the next four
I know
the next, you know, 32 are going
to
go.
He might go to
I just say, if you just put a frame around the first four races, I would say most people would be somewhat disappointed.
With you saying that, I'm sorely disappointed in his performance.
Okay.
I really am.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think that means the season's lost. I don't think it means the guy's not going to finish the race. I just think that based on his performance in the other series and how much success he had every time he put a helmet on and sat in the driver's seat of one of those nationwide cars, I just thought there'd be there was a greater expectation here.
First four races, who's impressed you?
Jeff Gordon has impressed me. This guy looks like a guy fighting for his job, even though that's not the case.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
Joe?
David Rubin. Absolutely, David Rubin.
Who's your surprise?
Wes? Oh, the surprise? Well,
in other words, somebody you didn't think would do. I mean, we knew that Jeff Gordon would do, had a feeling he had to turn it around. I mean, who's just, I mean, you're surprised I would probably be Dave Rudiman.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, that's
I think I'm surprised in a – I'd answer that question surprised in a negative way. I'm surprised about how poorly Jimmy Johnson's done.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Mark Martin has had the equipment failures. I mean, I'm not – you know, Mark Martin's doing his job. The problem is that the stuff – I'm surprised at Hendrick as it relates to Mark Martin. Okay, I'm
that
really
was,
surprised.
That was my surprise driver. I figured he'd be better than what he has been. Kind of like a letdown. But I think so far the first four races, I think Clint Bowyer has been a turnaround.
Well,
to be in a team that has to qualify on time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's running second in the points right now. I guess he's well locked.
Negative surprise for me, going along the lines Randy just said, it's Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's letting this get to himself.
Pressure is building.
Yeah. Do you think, Billy, he's letting it get to himself?
Yeah, no question. Well, we got Richard on line one.
Well,
we used to have. Okay.
We can't afford to do that, Mark.
I think Richard changed his mind. If you change your mind back, call us back. Anyway, I think back to the Mark Martin thing, he's definitely doing his part. But, you know, when you have two engine failures, a tire blow, and basically the Daytona 500 was just a strategy.
It's almost like they only got one Hendrick car, and they got four strong Hendrick cars.
Well, and that's what Junior's saying. I'm not getting the same car as they are. He's making these comments.
They already said Mark Martin's car and Junior's car is built in a different part of the shop. They did say that a couple weeks ago. And the 24 and the 48's in a whole different department. You never know what goes. Hey, this don't look like it's so good. Take it to that side of the build. This here looks perfect. You never know.
Oh, you're right.
They've been saying that for years.
But one of the things that I will tell you, I run and have run the whole time I've raced. I've run out of the Graham Racing Group. Okay, it's actually Graham Fabrication. And there was a time, I mean, we had lots of race cars out of that same shop. And there was a time when I, as a driver, felt like I wasn't getting the
good stuff.
The quote unquote good stuff. Now, part of that is, obviously, I was running Dodges, and that was new. And we were doing it without the significant availability of parts that the Chevrolets were. But the driver starts to feel a little bit like when you have a multi-car operation, a driver sometimes starts to feel like he's not getting the best effort. It doesn't necessarily even have to be the same parts, but the best effort to explain his own performance. Now, in Mark's case, it's easy. I mean, all you got to do is look at two engine failures in a tire. That isn't the driver.
Yeah.
In the 16th place in the Daytona 500 was a function of when they pitted and when the rain came. I mean, they ran good at the Daytona 500.
But I also seem to think too that if you sit there and tell yourself that there's a problem, and you sit there and you're down on yourself and you're feeling sorry for yourself. When it comes to Sunday, you're not at your 100% either.
I agree. I'm agreeing with that point. And by the way, let's make a distinction. Mark Martin hadn't said any of that stuff.
No, he said nothing. Okay. Mark Martin's been a class act about it. You don't hear him say,
because he's been through this before. Yeah. He's been through this with Jack Roush. You can bet.
Yeah, he's been around that part of that team deal before.
Well, and I think if you were to talk to Mark Martin today, he would tell you, they're going to get it turned around.
Yeah.
The season is not lost.
Yeah.
They have time. They need to be patient. And if there's anybody out there that has the ability to overcome this, it's Mark Martin.
It's been proven. Make the chase and anything can happen.
That's right. And I think he, even though he's, 35th, I think, in points today, I don't believe for a minute that he's out of the chase.
No.
There's no way to, I think it's unfortunate based on his enthusiasm and how much excitement they had going into this. And I think it's unfortunate for the Henry guys. Don't you know they're feeling that pressure?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how'd you like to have all the fans that are out there that are Mark Martin fans and them expecting this great performance and knowing that the reason for the lack of success is Hendrick. It's not Mark Martin. I wouldn't want to be those guys.
You gotta be careful.
Okay, I think we got Gene on the
line. Gene, you've got to be a little bit disappointed in Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Are
you there?
Gene.
Yeah. You've got to be a little disappointed in Junior.
Not really.
Well,
surprised is the word.
What's that? Pride?
Surprised is the word.
Surprised, yeah, of course.
Well, he left DEI for junky equipment.
Whoa. When, he left DEI for junky equipment.
Yeah.
You're saying that Hendrick stuff's junky? Or he left junk at DEI?
Wow. He had crappy cars at DEI, and I haven't seen a whole lot of difference out of Hendrick.
Performance was 100 times better with DEI than it's been with Hendrick. Of course, he's only been with Hendrick, a season?
Yeah, season of four races. Come on. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, and again, I think we make too much of this Dale Earnhardt's performance. I don't think he had a bad performance.
Did you see how loose his car was yesterday, Randy?
That's because that's what he asked for.
I mean, that's right. I mean, everybody, that's exactly
his crew chief. They can tighten it up. And it because you don't think Hendrick goes to Tony Urie and says, make that car loose for the kid. That don't happen.
No.
No, but he's had mechanical problems too this year.
I'm going to text Rick Hendrick right now, and I'm going to tell them that Bristol, I want him to make Jeff Gordon and Dale Jr. switch cars. Because the points go with the driver anyway. They don't go with the car number.
That's right.
Why not? Qualify the car.
Well, but the owner points go with the car.
The owner points. Yeah, the owner points.
Owner
we're talking
go with the car.
But the owner points aren't points, Rick the chase. The driver points are the chase.
Let them swap.
Yeah,
the
chase.
Go to tail. After qualifying, go to tail and see which one finishes
better. Well, I think you got to do this. I hope that Dale Earnhardt just takes a little. I mean, you know, I understand he's a competitor. But I hope that he, you know, doesn't respond with the, hey, I'm getting misfit equipment or I'm getting secondary stuff. Their effort seems beyond Jeff and Jimmy Johnson. He didn't, you know, that's that kind of comment he needs to keep. That doesn't need to be out there.
He'll be riding something else if he runs it mouth.
Yeah,
about
I mean, you know, there's one thing for sure. You don't want to talk about the Hendrick equipment that way.
But now, I don't think he can because he's in partnership with him in the Busch Series on National, whatever you want to call it.
Well, let me just tell you about that.
He's kind of in a
Those partnerships are nothing that money can't fix.
You're right.
Okay. I mean, the JR Motorsports deal, it can be all about JR easy. Okay. Without Rick Hendrick, it's just a simple matter of writing a check. So there's nothing like that. But I want to say this: I believe that there's more to the Hendrick Earnhardt relationship than just a good race car driver running for a good team owner. Rick Hendrick wants, I believe this without any question. Rick Hendrick wants to provide both Mark Martin and Dale Earnhardt Jr. with the opportunity that those guys deserve. I mean, there's nothing that would make Rick Hendrick any happier than to see Mark Martin win a championship in a Hendrick car, or Dale Earnhardt Jr., for that matter, in a Hendrick car.
You know how much money it's making?
Well, but more than that. I think it's...
Now you'd be the hero. Because Mark Martin's finished second a few times. Now Mark Martin wins. Same thing with Junior. Junior has way more fans than Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson. Imagine what would happen.
Well, I agree with that, but you know... Rick Hendrick's a very, very wealthy guy.
He ain't giving him junk.
He's not doing this. He's not trying to get Mark Martin or Dale Earnhardt Jr. for that matter, just for a matter of money. Rick Hendrick has a passion for what this could mean to the sport and to Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Mark Martin. I believe that this deal is more about Mark Martin and Dale Earnhardt Jr. than it is anything else.
Could be a transition. I mean, look, they both came from the same stuff. Maybe they're not used to it. That's what I'm saying to you. All I'm saying is, for one time, I'd like to see him put him in that 24 car and put Jeff Gordon in the 88, and then let's tell the tale. If Jeff Gordon outruns him, which is probably what would happen, that goes to tell everybody it's not the equipment.
Well, I mean, you know, Jeff Gordon's going to outrun most of those guys most of the time. That's, and whether you like him or you don't, he's definitely of the modern era.
That's done in the driver's seat, yeah. Right. Not in the shop. That's right.
Right. He is without question.
If the car's loose,
the best driver of our modern time.
It's got to be about driver. It's got to be about that whole situation. I'm telling you, he's got to be reading the car right. There's no reason why. I just don't understand. And don't get wrong, I'm a huge Dale Jr. fan. I am. I mean,
and you know what? The sport needs Dale Jr.
I'm tired of not winning, and I'm sure a lot of people are too.
The sport needs Dale Jr. to be successful.
It's time for him to nut up. It's that simple.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, Matt Kenseth has more wins than this guy. I mean, this is crazy.
Well,
what happened the other night? What was it? I think the Truck Series. What happened to Clay Rogers?
Don't know. Don't know. I didn't get to see it, so I can't answer that.
Well, I got to see it, but they didn't make any mention, unfortunately, of why he was out.
Maybe had engine failure or something.
I was disappointed yesterday. A little sad for Bill Elliott, I'll tell you, man.
Oh, man. Yes.
Nowhere to go. I don't know. It was just very difficult. He held his tongue, but just really tough for the Wood brothers, the biggest one, 12 races.
What I thought was really disappointing was, of course, you just said it, Mark Martin. Yeah. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, but it was.
And he was fast.
Oh, yeah. He was doing great.
Started on the pole, didn't he?
Started on the pole. The second oldest person to start on a pole in the history of the sport. You know, they say that, and if you know anything about Mark Martin, I mean, I think he's 51 years old.
I think he'd be 51 this year. I don't think he's 51 yet.
And he's in better health than all of us sitting here in this room. I mean, he's a phenomenal picture of health. He takes care of himself. So yeah, he's 50 or 51 years old, but. You wouldn't want to challenge him in a physical endurance test. He's in great shape.
He doesn't seem to be tuckered out as much as the other guys do.
He doesn't seem to be what?
Get as tuckered out as the other guys do.
You should see his workout regimen and also the way he eats. This guy does it right. You know, I don't know if he'll ever do it wrong, even when he's not driving, but he does it right. And that's why I keep saying, you know, Mark Martin physically is prepared. Mark Martin mentally is prepared. Yeah, he's ready to go. He just needs the stuff to hang in there with him. And that's why, again, I say, you know, 35th. If Billy was 35th or Joe was 35th or Randy was 35th, we'd be in trouble.
Stop now. Okay. I'm in the development program.
Okay. All right. But Mark Martin being 35th, a lot of races left. That's what I'll say there.
I'm tired because I did the motorcycle race on Friday. I did the AMA on Saturday. I was thinking about seeing if I could drive your car next.
We'll probably be ready this week.
All right,
yeah,
I'm ready
second car, by the way.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Why, Randy? Take us through.
We'll do that when Gene's done telling us all.
2 weeks for Bristol. Why, Gene always
a good one. She's running for president of the Jeff Gordon fan club.
Randy, don't let me come down to the studio, Randy. I'll tell you, you'll have laryngitis.
Yeah, well.
Believe me.
Yeah, everybody's had that this winter. You're not alone.
I'm not.
No.
Oh, okay. Because I'm tempted to come down to the studio sometime and surprise you before airtime.
Okay. Well,
that'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be a surprise, that's for sure.
Bring us a pie.
They know right where the studio is, and I go buy it.
Let us know that night. We'll have Jeff Gordon as a guest.
Oh, yeah, right.
In studio again.
And you know what? I guarantee you'd be a fan. If you sat next to that young man,
you would.
She would be a fan. No,
I wouldn't. I'm sorry.
Would you not sit next to him and just listen to him?
Absolutely not. I don't even want to be in the same room with a guy.
You know, how do you say that, Gene? I mean, you can't.
I mean, how do I say that? It's just somebody I detest. I don't like his style of driving. I don't like his whining.
Lead the point.
And I certainly don't like his excuses for running into people.
Finished second twice out of four races.
How can you be a Dale Earnhardt Sr. fan and start talking about somebody
else running
into people?
Because Dale Earnhardt
Sr., been second
Randy, twice. Dale Earnhardt Sr. didn't stand and say, oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't know I was that close.
Well, what was the Terry Labonte comment?
If he does it to me again, I'll do it.
Whoa. What was the Terry Labonte comment at Bristol, since that's the race that's coming up? I didn't mean to run into him. I just meant to rattle his cage.
That's right.
Give me a break.
He rattled
his cage all the way around. He hit him so hard. Yeah, he hit him so hard he bent the roll cage. What are you talking about?
I've seen him many times say, yeah, he would hit the guy again.
Well, so would Gordon. I mean, I've heard him say the
Gordon
same thing.
Gordon does it anyway.
There's no history of that.
I just noticed that he's not doing it as much.
I will tell you.
Some of these newer young guns,
he's
not taking it.
He's got the respect of that field out
there.
Did
you see
what
he did yesterday with that green-white checkered? Put it right in the middle of the racetrack, three wide with Bush Edwards and himself. I was going, holy cow, this is going to be a wreck, and somehow he managed to get through there.
I don't want to be the one to break this to you, but he's your Bristol winner in 2 weeks.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
I don't want to be the one to break
I wouldn't
that
be a bit surprised.
I don't want to hurt your feelings, so don't turn the TV on Sunday because he's going to be the winner.
I don't know what I'm going to do this Sunday without racing.
This guy is on a mission. Jeff Gordon is, I think, hungrier than I have seen him in years. And if you listen to these guys, he's also working out. You know, he's not just showing up at the racetrack. He's doing. He's got himself in position. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see championship number 5 go to the 24.
Yeah, smoking light.
All right. Hey, we're going to go, Gene, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll see.
We always have to get Jesse in the conversation,
you know,
don't we?
Hey, he's put himself there.
You know, I got it.
All right, we'll see you later.
Have a good night.
Hope you feel better.
You too, guys.
Bye,
Gene. Bye-bye.
I just want to throw this out there because a couple weeks ago I seen a very good buddy of mine, and he said he listens to the program. But I just want to say, because I know his two favorite drivers are Buckshot Jones.
And Randy Dye.
No, and Dick. Buckshot Jones and Dick Trickle.
Yeah, well,
I put Jeff Gordon right there amongst them.
How old is this good friend of yours?
Yeah, he's an older guy. But
okay.
Buckshot Jones.
He's on call. He said, I seen him go, he goes, I started to call and ask you if Buckshot made a race lately.
Yeah, he's running Massey Ferguson's in the field.
I kind of feel bad for him now because he's a Kurt Busch fan, and Kurt Busch was a winner yesterday.
Buckshot. That's great name. Jones. Great name.
We don't have to go into the other one.
Yeah, that's him.
Anyway.
So you got another car.
Yeah. Yep. We got another car.
What number are we going to make this one?
The same. No, we're going. It's just going to be a twin.
You putting a double seat in it for ride-along?
No ride-alongs. No.
Randy, I mean, were you not happy with the first one, the performance? Seriously, I mean, do you feel that something was...
No. I think what I didn't like, and I think we're going to overcome that, was... I didn't like how tight the new race car was, and I think, just so I clarify that, this race car was really very good on Goodyear tires. And then when we had to make that switch to the Hoosier tire, the Hoosier tire was pretty grippy. I liked that part okay, but when you went into the corner hard... And the new racetrack allows you to do that. I feel a lot more comfortable going in the corner deeper than ever before, but the tire wouldn't let you do that. The sidewall folded and it pushed. You know, it made that right front tire skate up the racetrack.
Yep.
Some guys got it figured out. You know, they were better at getting it figured out than we were. We hadn't quite got it figured out. The second race car has nothing to do with the first one being a bad car. We've got a new Hoosier tire. We're allowed to run the same tire now that the super late models are running. And it really is a premium tire. By all accounts, it's supposed to be better than the Goodyear tire. It is. And
that's what they need to.
Right.
If they didn't, somebody's going to get hurt.
Right. And, you know, because the racetrack's fast.
The track's too fast for that tire.
The racetrack's definitely fast.
We ran them same Hoosier tires at Volusia when it was asphalt. We was running for the Winston deal with Chris, and then we ran them tires, and we had a big problem with that right front tire a lot.
It just almost feels like it just rolls underneath
over.
The car.
Yeah, it just rolls over too easy.
Yeah. And so... I'm looking forward to the new Hoosier tire, but the second car, Joe, is, you know, we do a lot of promotion with our stuff. You know, it goes to different events. We've got to go all the way up to an event. I'm trying to remember the name of the little Green Cove Springs.
Yeah, just south of Jacksonville.
Yeah, in the first weekend of April. I think it's some kind of an agriculture event. Forgive me for not having...
The car's going.
The car's going, and I'm going up there Friday to set up.
Oh, that's cool.
But, you know, the idea of having, you got to have one race car, theoretically, we could be up there at that show on that weekend with that car and that trailer and be at the racetrack also with another car racing. So,
my man. I thought maybe you built a dirt car.
No.
How cool would that be?
Dirt for racers.
How cool would
dirt
all eight
for,
models
dirt
be?
Dirt for real racers.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to it. And, I think it's going to be fun. We'll talk more about that. I think we got Bill on the line. Let's talk to him.
Mr. Hall.
Hey, Joe. How we doing?
I knew it was Bill. What's up, buddy?
Just wanted to thought about a youngster getting that win Saturday night.
Which one?
Oh, yeah. He is talking about our four-cylinder winner. That's right, Tony LaPorta. Unbelievable, man.
Is that the same guy, Bill, from that you was asking about from New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Yeah.
I went over and talked to him in the pits. And
Tony LaPorta.
Yeah. He was higher than a kite as far as he says. I spent all, I'm all cut up and, you know, burnt from welding this thing. And I do it again tomorrow to get the win, you know.
And Randy, he built a Nissan Sentra. And he beat Danny Lund, the defending champion, in a Ford ZX2 Escort. R.J. Glazer had his Mustang out there. Ashley Espy, that's another Ford. Gilbert had, I believe that was a Celebrity or a Cavalier.
Both of them are Cavaliers.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Jamie Anderson, Danny Laird, Davey Wolf. But, man, he built this Nissan, and it just totally outclassed the field.
He was pretty strong on Friday, too. Bill, where did he end up Friday? Second or first or second Friday night, too?
I think third or something like that. Yeah. But I hadn't seen him in years. I used to see him hanging around tracks here and there, but I guess he's moved down here someplace in Daytona now.
Oh, that's cool.
We saw him come out last year a couple of times, and I'd never heard of him. And then when you started talking about him, he's from up around your neck of the woods. What other kind of racing has he done, Bill, that you know of?
I can't remember him racing, but I remember seeing him at tracks and so on. So, you know, I hang around the pits different times, too, and I know him, but the name just jumped out at me.
Sure. But, Bill, I mean, the season has started. You've been to Citrus, you've been to Ocala, you've been to Volusia. Give us, from your perspective, the state of Central Florida racing on the short tracks. You've been there.
Well, the tracks I've been going to, they've been getting real good crowds. Ocala's been doing good. Citrus had real good crowds. You guys been throwing up the price pretty decent. Speedweeks, you guys are hanging from the rafter when the weather cooperated.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't see the down. Well, actually, the downside of the economy should help the short tracks. It's pretty cheap entertainment.
Man, I sure hope so. You agree with that, Randy?
I think that if you look at it, and I've said this for years, if you look at it dollar for dollar value that way, I don't think there's a better value entertainment dollar out there. And I think that's the way the tracks have got to make it work. They've got to look at this as an entertainment opportunity in addition to, obviously, some competition. But you got to entertain those people, give them a place to go, make it fun, get them home on time, and they'll be successful. That's the key. And so far...
You're talking to a guy right here that has perhaps the most discerning taste in spectating races. We're entertaining, Bill. So we're doing something good. Right. And I say that by Citrus. I say that for Ocala and Volusia. You got a lot of choices this weekend, Bill. Where are you going?
Well, I plan on going to Ocala and go over and harass you Saturday.
Good deal. Look forward to it.
All right.
Thanks
have
for
a good
thanks
all
for
right.
listening.
Right.
Right. He's not ready to go back to New York.
Yeah,
I don't blame him.
They probably said it'd be around April. I was talking to him Friday, so yeah. Probably somewhere around April. But, yeah, he went to Inverness a few weeks ago, and they had a really good crowd.
Did you see Bob, his buddy?
Yeah, he's all burned.
I said, man, did you get drunk and fall asleep on the beach? He goes, no, I was surf fishing.
Yeah, he's surf fishing.
You want to talk about a sunburn, dude.
Bob had an entertaining bike. He lived right around the corner of Boo Hill. He said, I used to walk out there every day. I told him on Friday, I said, you got a little sun, and I see him Saturday. I said, you got more sun today, Bob.
I mean, it was lobster style, buddy.
Joe, this weekend, Volusia Speedway Park.
Fast Lane 5. And when we say that in 2009, that means we've got five full divisions of UMP Dirt Car Sanctioned Racing. We're going to kick off the late models. Of course, the modifieds will be back. The street stocks, the thunder stocks, and the four-cylinder challengers. The only division tonight off is going to be the sportsman, just 15 miles west of I-95 on State Road 40 in Barberville. Grandstands open at 5:30, racing at 7:30.
Well, the New Smyrna Speedway kicks off their season this weekend, March the 14th, on Saturday night at 7:30. Full program of racing. We're not going to go the first night. My daughter's getting married on the 21st, and we want to make sure that we've got no issues relative to racing until her wedding is done, and we're going to wait until it's over.
Friday night has an offering, Billy.
Friday night, Ocala Speedway, late models back on hand. Talked to a couple of guys. They should have a great show. Gainer Nationals this weekend as well.
Yes, indeed. That's right. The third stop on the 2009 Powerade NHRA Tour. Looking forward to that. It's going to be good.
There's just a bunch to pick from.
There
are. You know,
12 Hours of Sebring right around the corner. You know, the Grand Prix of St. Pete. I mean, I can go on and on, and I'm still rallying for an F1 race right here in Daytona.
On the historic streets of downtown Daytona Beach.
We'll keep it in the lands. Maybe get Jeff Gordon running it,
then you run it by Gene's house.
Maybe we can get the mayor of Holly Hill there to let us roll and be a. Anyway, we've had fun tonight. We appreciate your phone calls. We certainly appreciate you listening. We'll be back here next Monday night to give you all the things that went on in the racing world this next week. Good night, everybody.
This is News Talk 1150 WNBB Daytona Beach.
WNBB News Talk 1150.
This is Racing 1150 WNBB Daytona Beach.